Good morning. We are in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them.
There is this scene in a really good movie. The movie is called The Incredibles. It's a cartoon. A superhero family. And Mr. Incredible, his glory days have left him. He's older, he's overweight, he's got a job he hates. This is a great scene where he's coming home, slips on the skateboard, grabs his car and dents it, picks up the car to throw it across the world because anger is a funny thing. And there's a little kid watching his temper tantrum. Mr. Incredible puts the car down and he asks the kid, "What are you waiting for? What do you want from me?" The little kid says, "I just want to see something amazing. I just want to see something amazing." It's Sunday morning. It's 10 o'clock. We're crammed into a room that's too small. But we woke up early. We corralled our families out of the house. We come to this place. If you're here and you believe in Jesus and you love Jesus, deep down, every one of us wants to feel something. I want God to be real in my life. I want it to burn down deep. I want to touch the infinite, the eternal. I want to know it's more than words. It's more than an idea that there is a God. He's out there and he actually sees and cares for me. I want to see something amazing. Now, as people, this makes us very susceptible. Because when we want something deeply, if someone offered it to us for cheap or for free, we're really gullible, aren't we? If you want to be healthy and someone says they got a diet pill, you're like, "Give me the diet pill." I don't want to hear all that nonsense about like eating less calories than I burn. That's crazy talk. I want an easy way around. When it comes to like money, I'd love to be wealthy. But I don't want to like spend less than I make, so I'll play the lotto. The easy way. When it comes to spirituality and Jesus, the same thing is true. We would love a quick fix. We would love something to come and just make us feel God's presence. Tell me the secret so I can feel it. Be warmed by the fire of God's presence. If you tell me, I will do it. And there are a lot of people selling a lot of junk, promising, if you do this thing, if you put this secret sauce on your sandwich, you'll have a Big Mac. We go, oh, in the church of Corinth, Paul writes, the apostle Paul, he's the pastor of this church, but Paul, he's a traveling pastor. He came, he preached Jesus, people heard about Jesus, they start gathering, and a church is born. As Paul leaves, a group is born in the church, and the group promises, if you do this thing like we do, you will have super spirituality. You will be super holy if you do what we do. Their thing, their like super secret sauce, if you will, they say the key to being spiritual is to avoid all sexual intimacy. If you're married, stop kissing your wife. That's what they said. People are like, that'll work? That'll work. Doesn't work. Babe, why don't you kiss me no more? Because of Jesus. That's going to go really good. It's going to go great in your marriage. This group told some people, if you're married, if you're engaged, break off your engagement. Because if you want to be truly spiritual, you got to be like us. Single or celibate. That's the only way to true spiritual power. So Paul has to correct this thing, and this is what he says. He goes, listen, here's the principle of the matter. As the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk. You know what he says? He says, walk where God puts you. That's it. Walk where God puts you. Grow where you've been planted. Be faithful in the life the Lord has given to you. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme, is it? This is the hard stuff. He says this. He says, the Lord has assigned to each one of us something. He says, wherever you were born, into whatever family you were born into, we don't choose our families, do we? We just show up on a doorstep. We're like, this is my thing. These are my people. And just in case you don't know this, everyone's family has troubles. You may think to yourself, well, my neighbor, they don't have troubles. Trust me, they got troubles in that house. You just don't see them. Every family has their stress cracks and fissures. We don't choose a city we're born in. We don't choose a country we're born in. We don't choose a color we are. We're just born into the world. And Paul goes, wherever you're born, that's where God has put you. That's where God has assigned you. And he says, and then God calls you. What does that mean? He says, the Lord assigned each one, and God called each. So whatever life you were living when you met Jesus, wherever you are when Christ gets a hold of you, that is your ministry assignment. There's this thought that a lot of Christians think, I got to go to Africa to serve the Lord. I got to go to Latin America on a mission trip. I got to be a pastor or a missionary or a monk or a nun. If I do one of those things, then I'm really serving the Lord. And Paul goes, that's nonsense. God has put you in a mission field. It is called your life. If you're here and you're young, you're in high school or junior high or college, you're around more people who need Jesus in a day than I am all year. And you may be one of the only lights in that community. That's your mission field. The job you hate. The factory, the road, the office, mowing the yard. God has put you there. That is your mission field. And it is a mission field. One of our brothers in Christ, who is no longer with us, he was a foreman of a crew, and the Lord got a hold of him. And the Lord did such a work in his life. Every single guy in his crew was changed and brought to Jesus. You don't got to be a pastor to shine. You don't got to go to Bible college. My brother in Christ was rough around the edges. Cuss mouth. A dude's dude even. But he loved Jesus. And God put him in that place. As the Lord assigned to each one, as God has called each of us, in this manner, let him walk. Let him walk. Walk where God puts you. He says this, was any of you called when he was already circumcised? He's not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone called uncircumcision? He's not to be circumcised. Now, read that, you're like, what are we talking about? This is weird. Listen. If you read the Bible, talk a lot about circumcision, which is kind of weird. But yes, for Paul, it's shorthand. Circumcision is the sign of the covenant for the Jews. The children of Abraham all were circumcised. That was part of like being a Jewish person. It was a religious, cultural tradition that showed their fidelity to God. So for Paul, he will use this word, it's a synonym for Jewish. He calls the Pharisees the party of the circumcision. They're the Jews who love the law. So all he's saying here, he's saying, listen, if you recall when you were Jewish, don't try to be a Gentile. If you recall a Gentile, you don't got to try and be Jewish. In this world, the Jews, Jesus was Jewish, the apostles were Jewish, 10 commandments come from the Jewish line. And some of the Jews in that time were like, if you're Jewish, you're closer to God. We're like God's favorites, and you other people can come too, but you're like the redheaded stepchild, you know what I'm saying? And Paul goes, no! He says, this crazy line, he goes, listen. He says, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. If you were raised in the church, don't matter. If you come to Christ when you were 10 or 20 or 30 or 40, doesn't matter. In the house of God, in the family of God, there are no second-class citizens. There aren't. I don't care if your grandpa is Billy Graham. You're not better than anybody else. I don't care if you're the fourth generation believer in your family. That's great. Doesn't make you better than your neighbor. There are no second class citizens in the church. Pastor, I've been divorced. You're not a second class citizen. I'm a felon. You are not a second class citizen in the family of God. What matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Each man, each woman must remain the condition in which they were called. Wherever you are right now, that's where God has you. That's where God has you. That's your opportunity to shine because you're uniquely placed somewhere that no one else is. Walk where God puts you. I almost titled this principle, I almost said, be where you is. I'm serious. Walk where God puts you. Be where you is. There's this guy in Luke chapter 8. This guy's life was a nightmare. demon-possessed, insane in his mind. And Jesus comes along and changes everything for him. Luke 8:34. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported to the city and the countryside. The people all came out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus, and they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been saved. And all the people of the country, the Gerasenes, and the surrounding district asked Jesus to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear. Jesus got into a boat to return. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging Jesus that he might accompany him. The demon-possessed man is like, you just changed my life. Let me come with you, Jesus. I want to leave everything and follow you and you only. Jesus sent him away and said to him, return to your house. Recount what great things God has done for you. That man went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Jesus tells that guy, don't leave the life I gave to you. Go back into the world from which you came and be a light there. Leaving is easy. Staying is hard. Because in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our city, people know our business, don't they? They know that we used to be. They know who we was, don't they? They know our mistakes. They know our foibles. They know. They know. But Christ says, where I put you, grow there. Walk there. Be the light there. Walk where God puts you. Paul goes on and says this. Were you called while a slave? Don't worry about it. If you're able to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. Stop right there. So this first illustration, his first example is Jew-Gentile. Your race don't matter. You can come to Christ as you are, religious, irreligious. Some of you come to church and you don't know the songs. It's okay. Like, I don't know how to dress for church. It's okay, neither do I. You know what I'm saying? We're just glad you came. But Paul says something very awesome here. He uses slavery and freedom. Now, our race we can't change, but slavery, freedom, that's a changeable condition in life. And when Paul says slave, he's referring to Roman indentured servitude. You see, back in that day, if you wanted to go bankrupt, if you had too much debt, you'd go to a wealthy landowner and say, wealthy landowner guy, I owe dudes like a bunch of money. Can I become your servant for 4 years and you pay off my debts? Like, okay, you work for 4 years. You live on my property. Everything you make belongs to me. I give you 3 hots and a cot. That's what it's going to be. That was called indentured servitude. Not awesome. Like, you work for 4 years and all that you make belongs to the landowner guy. You're a servant, slave. But he says this, Paul goes, listen, I don't care if you're a slave or a free person. Because if you follow the, if you belong to Jesus, your salvation sanctifies your situation. Your salvation in Christ sanctifies whatever situation you find yourself in. He's like, if you're poor, if you're a slave, being a slave, not fun. You're in a tough spot. You have 6 more years to work? That sounds terrible. But in those 6 years, in your indentured servitude, he says, remember, from the world standard, you're a slave, but because of Jesus, your soul is free. Don't forget who you are in Christ. If you're a rich person, don't you forget, also he tells them, don't you forget if you're rich. You belong to the Lord. And all you own belongs to him. Don't get too big for your britches. Because you're a slave to the Lord. He's your master. Don't forget it. Because a lot of us have this thought that if only I could get to that next season of life, then I could be a faithful follower of Jesus. When I'm married, then I'll follow. After my divorce, then I'll follow. When I get this better job, then I'll be financially responsible. We always say, someday out there when that thing happens, then I'll be the person God tells me I'm supposed to be. That's bull. Because tomorrow never comes, does it? There's always the next thing out there. Whatever you find yourself in, this is where you're called to follow Jesus. Here, now. We don't wait for the promised land. Because for us, the promised land is heaven. And we don't go there till we die. I remember after India, my wife and I got arrested and deported. It's a little funny. I mean, I'm Mexican. I can't go anywhere, apparently. It's an awful world we live in. Come back to America. I feel like a failure. I went all in to serve the Lord in India and got my head kicked in. I remember being out. And afterwards, we had no money. We sold our car, our house. We had nothing. Living at Angie's parents' house. Yay! You know, I've arrived. Hey, Angie's dad, can I live in your basement? I'm a good provider for your daughter. Like, it was awesome. So we're living at the tree farm, and I am lost. I'm like, Lord, what happened? How did this happen? Did I fail? I'm just lost. I called one of my mentors one day. I was sitting by Faith Lake, which is a big hole in the earth. There's no water. It's called Faith Lake because we believe there'll be a lake there someday by faith. I'm sitting by Faith Lake. And serious, they built a rope swing over the hole because someday it'll fill. I was like, got a lot of faith, Bob. But there's nothing in that hole, bro. I'm sitting by Faith Lake, and I call a buddy of mine, one of my father figures, just smoked. I'm like, I don't know what to do. He just said, Ernesto, what has God called you to be? I said, I think I'm supposed to be this. He said, well, we'll do that there. You don't need to get paid to do it. You don't need to wait for someone. Just do what God called you to do here and now. I was like, but dee-ba-dee. He's like, do it now. And we started serving people there. You know what fruit was born out of that season? That's where I met the worship pastor of this church, Ricky Spillers. Wherever you happen to be, no matter how hard you might think it is, salvation sanctifies situation. Our brothers and sisters who live in India right now, they live under a growing Hindu nationalist party. Where being a Christian is getting harder and harder every day. And guess what? They, even in that oppressive environment, they can still grow closer to Jesus. We do not wait for optimal conditions to serve Jesus. It'll never be optimal. It'll never be optimal. When I was a young boy, I used to go home, and my home life was very chaotic. And there was a thought, if my home life was better, then I could be a better follower. No. be a light in the chaos. Paul says later on in this very chapter, he says, if you're in a brutal home where you're the only believer, how do you not know, O person, whether your faith will save your whole house? We have a mission field, and it's the life God's given us. Wherever we've been placed, walk where God puts you. Your salvation in Christ sanctifies whatever situation you may find yourself in. Whether it's a crappy job, a loveless marriage, trapped in a body that just is sick and dying, whatever, wherever you find yourself, be faithful there. Be faithful now. Point number three. You are allowed to change your life. Just don't over-spiritualize it. Paul says to the person who's an indentured servant, he says, will you call while a slave? Don't worry about it. But if you're able to become free, do that. You got a chance to buy out your debt, you got the money, get out of indentured servitude. Being free is better than being a slave, isn't it? Let me make it real for us today. Some of us might say, I'm financially poor. If I had more money, I'd serve the Lord. Not an excuse. It's not an excuse. You don't need money to serve the Lord. When Flint City Church started, I had friends of mine planting churches, had like $250,000 given to them. Flint City had nothing. There's no money. There was no budget. I had to work a job. I was a substitute teacher, and I was a bad one. Billy Hampton, our deacon of kids, our elementary school kids, he said, man, I started coming here because you taught my class when I was sick. Like, you did a bad job. I'm like, yeah, I did. I did a bad job. He came back after he was sick. Did you guys do the homework I signed? No. What'd you guys do? We drank pop and talked about movies. I was like, yeah. What a substitute teacher I was. I worked a job to make money. We met in my house. You know why? Because you don't need money to do what God's called you to do. It helps, but you don't need it. Don't let your situation rob you of the calling God has for your life. But I will say this. If you are financially destitute, work to change your condition. Being poor is hard. Having resources it's nice. But I'm going to say it's cool. Going to McDonald's is better than not going to McDonald's. I'm being ridiculous, but I'm being serious at the same time. We do a lot of things at our church to help people come out of hard situations. We are allowed to change our life circumstances, but the secret is you can't over-spiritualize it. This is what Paul says about this. He says, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Now, it's a bad translation here. Do you think you hear the word slaves, you think of the slave, free man, the metaphor. What he's saying is, you were bought with a price. Don't be taken in by the false teachers. That Corinthian spiritual crew, they're saying the only way to be really spiritual is no intimacy ever. And then you'll feel closer to God. And Paul goes, Jesus died on the cross to buy your soul. Stop believing all these stupid psycho preachers all the time. They come on TV, try to tell all of us, if you really want to be spiritual, you'll do it like I do it. People love adding to the cross and calling it super spirituality. There's a crew out there called the Hebrew Roots Movement. And they say, if you want to be really spiritual, you'll keep the Jewish festivals. No! Bad! Wrong! Have you read the Bible? Have you read any of it? I have friends who believe this. Like, I celebrate Yom Kippur. I'm more spiritual than you. Do-da-do-da-do. People say, well, if you speak in tongues, then you're really spiritual. I have people tell me to this day, Nestor, you seem like a really spiritual man. If only do this one thing, then you'd be super spiritual. They're telling me I'm a second-class citizen because I don't do things their way. Boo! In the family of God, tongues is nothing. We're free in Christ to do that, but it's not a measurement of our spiritual maturity. Do you understand? Don't let anybody add stuff to your walk with Jesus. People try to make you feel bad because you're not like them. You got to pray 2 hours a day. No, you don't. You got to fast once a month. No, you don't. Free in Christ. You follow him. You chase him. You listen to him. You obey him in a life he called you to. I remember when the babies were little, my kids were babies, and Auntie had two kids under sneaking, whatever ages they were. They were little, they were babies. Two in diapers at once, two in diapers at the same time. And she'd all these preachers say things like, gotta have daily devotions or you're not really a Christian. And she's like, man, I'm changing these diapers and keeping these kids alive. I have no time for anything else. Am I a bad Christian? No! God called you to love these babies and raise them. And he sees what you carry. He knows your heart. He knows you love him. Stop letting these preachers put these new weights upon you. They're trying to bury you in guilt. And you're loved by the Lord. These good things are not meant to be condemnations. You're allowed to change jobs. When you change a job, don't say, this new job let me serve God better. No, it won't. It's just different, not better. Stop over-spiritualizing the changes you want to make. When you make something over-spiritual, you say, this next job, this is the thing that's going to open up me and God to go great, great lengths together. And the job doesn't happen. You'll think to yourself, I guess me and God aren't going anywhere. Your spiritual journey is not predicated upon that open door. The Christian life, here is the hard truth of it. Like anything worth doing, it is a long obedience in the same direction. A day by day, boring, ordinary, sacrificial obedience to Jesus. That's what grows the human heart. There's no secret way to do it. There's no like shortcut to being spiritual. Years ago, I wanted to run a 5K. I've got this app, and the app was called From My Couch to a 5K. I needed that app because I was on the couch. And I was like, okay, day one, you know, you're going to walk and run for 30 seconds. I was like, Matt, that's a tall order, bro. No, But every day as we did this, they'd go, okay, we're running twice for 30 seconds today. I'm like, oh, shoot. And over the course of that app, I began learning your body gets used to it. You develop, like, endurance. It was that faithful, long obedience in the same direction made it possible for me to run the 5K when it came. When it comes to following Jesus, it's just this daily walk with him. Everyone wants to say you must do these radical things to feel, if you want the amazing, You got to go crazy and be weird. If you want to feel the Lord, just walk with him day by day. That's the good stuff. That's the real stuff. I'll end by saying this. Walk with Jesus where you are. There is no time like today to do what God has made you to do. There is no place like the place where you are to be who God has created you to be. Be faithful and content where God has placed you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word that is true. Use this word to set free the hearts of your children. So many preachers and shepherds try to lay heavy burdens on the hearts of your children, making us feel guilty and ashamed all the time. You have planted us where you want us. You've given us our giftings, our circumstances, our families, our limitations, our hardships. All this comes from you and uniquely shapes us to be a unique light in this world. Let us endure well. Let us love unreservedly. Let us serve our neighbors with glad hearts. Let us lay down the sin that so easily entangles us, that we may be free to run this race you've called us to. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,